Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Detroit and became a Detroit police officer. She got married, had a daughter, and got divorced. She started a business which failed and lost everything, including her home. She believes that a single thought can change our lives. She says, it's not what happens to us in life, but how we handle what happens to us that makes the difference. Today, she's a professional speaker, author, trainer, and coach. Her name, Sadie Bolus. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Sadie Bolus, the founder and president of Bolus & Associates. Sadie, welcome. It's an honor.
Thank you, Jack. I'm excited to be here.
Can we start by you telling us about your childhood and your parents?
Sure. Well, I was raised in Detroit, and I have one brother and two sisters. My father was a professional boxer years ago, and then from there moved into owning a grocery store. So from a very young age, I was around a business. I was around a very industrious father who was always working, always doing his very best, and teaching us to have tenacity, stick to it, and always do your very best at everything you could do. So he taught us from that young age we had to learn to earn the right. Nothing came free, nothing came easy. We had to work hard, study hard. And one of the things that he always used to say, he said, we don't make much money, but we have a lot of fun. And that would make me smile often. But my father was very industrious, and so from a very young age, I started to work. I would go to the store at times and help him in the store. We had a store down near Tiger Stadium, and I used to run at that time what was called the candy counter. I would stand on a milk crate and sell the candy and also the rings and the different things that was sold in a little market like that. And from there, I actually started babysitting at a very young age. And I tell that because when I look back at that time of babysitting and the level of responsibility of watching young children and helping to keep a house and being responsible, it taught me how to be organized and how to stay focused on what I was doing. And from there, I went to St. Ambrose High School and went to elementary school and a couple of years of high school. And St. Ambrose closed in 1972. And from that point, I went on to a public school. But I started working at a very young age, also in high school. Had a couple of different jobs, worked in an office, worked as an assistant, as a secretary in a school office. Also worked in a restaurant. At that time, there was a restaurant called Lum's. I don't know if you remember Lum's, but I was a waitress at Lum's. So I always had three or four jobs going at one time, in addition to babysitting, in addition to schoolwork. So I learned to handle many things at one time.
What's your nationality? And talk about your mom.
Okay. My nationality is Arabic, and my mom is a great woman. She had more patience and persevered more than any woman I've ever known. Probably what really influenced me with my mother was her selflessness. She was always giving. She always put us first. The children always came first. She always came second. Whether it was getting ready for church, cooking dinner, whatever it is we needed, she took care of us and always put us first and always gave. My mother has a heart of gold. There isn't anything she wouldn't do for anybody.
You go to Wayne State, you get a degree in criminal justice, and you become a Detroit police officer. Why?
That's a great question. I had intended to go to law school. And I decided that I wanted to identify with the community that I was going to be serving and possibly living in. So I thought, I want to be a police officer. My primary focus was I was really involved in crime prevention and crime causation, and I wanted to make a difference. And when I was in college and we studied law, one of the things that really impressed upon me was what a police officer was all about. And if you look at the philosophy of a police officer, it began years and years ago, and the idea was you were a public servant. You were there to serve the people. And I was very interested in serving the people and making a difference, so I thought that would be a great place to start. Taught me a lot of good things. Just going to the academy alone was quite an undertaking to survive the Detroit Police Academy. So I went through the academy and later went on, and I worked in a special unit. I worked down at the Wayne State University campus, worked in the CAS corridor area, and that was, again, a special unit. They looked for people who specifically had four-year degrees at that time, and worked down in that area for a while. And after a couple of years of working down there, I saw that what I wanted to do wasn't, the police department wasn't really the best place for me to really pursue what some of my dreams were.
You learn of a man named Zig Ziglar. So you call Zig in Dallas every day, Sadie, for a year.
Yes.
Wanting to talk to him.
Yes.
Who is Zig Ziglar, and why did you want to talk to him?
I heard Zig Ziglar speak for the first time when I was living in Dallas, Texas, and he made a statement that literally changed my life. He said, if you don't like who you are and where you are in your life, you're not stuck with you. And I thought, well, just who am I stuck with? And then he followed it up with an even more profound statement. He said you could change who you are and where you are in your life by changing what goes into your mind. And at that time in my life, I had been on quite a roller coaster, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of changes. I probably had 7 or 8 jobs in the course of just a couple of years. And when Zig made that statement, I realized that I was choosing failure. I realized that I could change what was going on in my life by changing what went into my mind. And that made such an impression upon me that day, I said, someday I'm going to do what Zig Ziglar does. And in order for me to learn how to do that, I might as well learn from the best. So I thought at that point, I wanted to meet Zig.
The first book that Zig ever wrote was See You at the Top. And Sadie, 41 times in the book, he says, you can get everything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want. I mean, that's pie in the sky thinking. Well, is it true?
It is, absolutely. That's really about serving. It's really about putting your agenda aside and looking at people and looking at their heart and looking at who they are and looking at who they are as a person, what their needs are, and how can you help? How can you make a difference in that person's life? And if every time you're out there with people, you see the light in them and you look at how can you make a difference, it's really incredible what happens in your own life when you look to make a difference in someone else's.
When we come back, we'll talk to Sadie about going to work and becoming a speaker for Zig Ziglar. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760. WJR.
This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Sadie Bolus, who became a trainer and a motivational speaker for the Zig Ziglar Corporation. He says a lot of things, Zig. One of the many is, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Absolutely. That was something that Zig always taught. Whether I was going out on a sales call, talking to an employee, another colleague, or at a speaking engagement, it was always about people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. When people believe that you have their very best interest at heart, when people believe that you're really centered on them, that's when they're interested in what you know.
You've had a lot of setbacks in your life. You got married, you had a daughter at 2.5 years old. You got divorced.
Yes.
Then you started a business. Eventually you lost the business, you lost your home, you lost everything. You had a custody suit for your daughter. Sadie, why are you so positive?
That's a great question. Because I choose to be. Having a great attitude in life is a choice. Every day you wake up and you decide how you're going to feel. I can choose to be happy. I can choose to look at my past and say, poor old me, Sadie, you've had all the sad, bad breaks. Why has this happened to you? Or I can choose to say, you know what? That's all right. How can I learn? How can I grow? How can I develop more character, and how can I move on?
one of your most famous sayings is, it's not what happens to you in life, but how you handle what happens to you that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. It's how you handle it. I can look at a situation being divorced years ago and saying, again, poor Sadie, why did this happen to me? It's not what I planned. It's not what I thought would happen. But rather than getting caught up on that, I look at how do I handle it? And I have to look back at that. Some of the things that I did were not the best. Some of the ways that I handled it were not what I am proud of today. So I constantly look at how am I going to handle that? How am I going to handle it when a client says no? How do I handle it when my daughter doesn't like what I'm doing? How am I going to handle it when, you know, things happen every day? You can't control things. You can influence things, but you have to look at it's how you handle things. It's how you handle your divorce, how you handle losing the business, how you handle physical ailments that you have, looking at what you have as opposed to looking at what you don't have.
100 years ago, James Allen wrote a book, a little 60-page book, As a Man Thinketh. In the Bible, there's a passage, as a man thinks in his heart, so it is. What do you say about those?
I believe that that's exactly true, that whatever you focus on and whatever is in your heart is what is manifested on the outside. So the first thing you have to do is you have to change that attitude. You have to change what's on the inside. If I take an orange and I cut it in half and I squeeze that orange, what do I get? I get orange juice. Why not lime juice? Why not lemon juice? I get orange juice because that's what's inside. So if all of a sudden I push on you and I squeeze you and I push on you, then whatever comes out is what's on the inside. So you have to change what's on the inside. You have to change your heart. You have to change what's in your mind. And you have to be committed to that change and focused on that change. And when you're committed and focused upon that, that's when your life will change, because you can't act in a manner that's inconsistent with who you are. It shows up somewhere.
You say that a big shot is a little shot that keeps on shooting. That's my golf game saying. So you say, so keep on shooting. Talk about that.
That simply talks about tenacity. It means you have a dream, you have a goal, you focus on it, you stay focused on it, and you don't give up. You might take 2 steps backwards to move 1 forward. You might take 10 steps backwards to move just 2 forward, but you can't give up. You have to, sometimes you have to look at your goals a little bit differently. You have to come up with new resources, make a shift. But a big shot is a little shot who keeps on shooting. You keep on going after it and going after it and going after it. One of the things that I learned from Zig, particularly when you look at sales, you know, you're never number one at the end of every month. But every day, if you do what you need to do, if you have, and I'll use this from a sales perspective, if you have qualified activity every day, you call on the people you need to call, you do the steps that you need to do, that at the end of the year, you're exactly where you want to be. So a big shot is a little shot that keeps on shooting, is someone that continuously and tenaciously follows through and stays on track and stays focused and doesn't give up. It just means you don't give up.
Another thing you say is your mind doesn't care what you plant. Your mind only cares that you plant. So keep planting seeds of greatness.
Absolutely. Your mind doesn't care what you plant. If you plan in negative things, if you plan in things that are terrible and frustrating and create anxiety for you, that's exactly what you'll get. You see, if I take a box, Jack, and I put in my favorite book and my favorite sayings and letters from my friends and the most beautiful things, and I shake that box up and I turn it over, I get all those beautiful things. If I take that box and I put in pencil shavings and old banana peels and a bunch of garbage and I shake it up and I turn it over, that's what I get, all the garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you put in your mind will come out. It's very much, we look at a computer. You put information in, you add, you delete, and you get an output. Your output, most of the time, is equal to your input. Whatever you put in your mind is what your mind will return. Your mind doesn't care what you plant. If you plant the negativity, you'll get negativity. If you plant the great things, you'll get the great things. But you have to choose. You have to make a choice to do that. You have to decide to do that. It's not about do you feel like doing it. It's about doing it because that's what you need to do.
People say, anything the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. Or another way of saying it, if you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're right.
Absolutely. Whatever you think you can or cannot do is absolutely true. I'll never forget, there was a tour out at Disney just when it was opening, and one of the executives was taking several guests on a tour, and one of the guests stopped and said, "Isn't it a shame that Walt didn't live to see this?" And the executive stopped and said, "Oh no, Walt saw it. That's why it's here." So whatever your mind will believe, whatever you see in your mind, you have to see it in your mind's eye before it can become a reality.
Some people would say, "All right, Sadie, when I achieve it, then I'll believe it." A doubting Thomas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Show me from Missouri. When I achieve it, then I'll believe it.
It's not about when you achieve it. It's about doing all the things that you need to do to get there and seeing it in your mind and believing in it and going for it and going for it. And ultimately, it will happen. It's not going to happen the next day, overnight, next week. It might take you 2 years. It might take you 3 years. But you have to see it, you have to believe it, and you have to have action steps to get there. And then, as you continue, things will start to unfold and manifest itself.
We're talking to Sadie Bolus, and I'm Jack Brasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Sadie Bolus, who today is a professional speaker, author, trainer, and coach, also a wife and a mother. Sadie, it's fine for you to say these things because you've achieved all of this. You've won championships. You're with the great teams. I'm overweight. I've got a drinking problem. I've just lost my family. I've lost my job. My skill set is no longer in vogue. People are telling me I have to go back to school. I'm afraid. Sadie, how do I change my thinking?
Jack, that's a good question. It isn't always easy. It takes effort. It takes energy. But you have to start with your attitude. Believe me, every day I work on this. I had some things growing up that were very difficult. I was overweight as a child and overweight most of my life. And it wasn't until that day when I heard Zig say you can change who you are by changing what goes into your mind. So you have to start by changing what goes into your mind. And you don't need anyone to start that. That's a choice. You start by changing what goes into your mind. And there are a couple things you can do. One of the first things you need to do is you need to set the mood when you get up in the morning. And this is something that's so easy to do. When you think about what do you do, what happens at a football game before the kickoff, the crowd cheers and the band plays and the cheerleader is cheering and the coach is saying, "All right, you guys, you know that offense, you know that defense, you can get out there and win." He's setting the mood. So what that means is you have to set the mood in the morning when you get up. You have to set it up in your home so you get up and you say, "It's a great day to get up, get out and go get 'em." And that might sound crazy, and maybe it is, but Harvard University did a study, and they said that the first 20 minutes that you wake up in the morning, your mind is most amenable to the positive things that you put in it. So the first thing you have to do is decide and choose that you want to make a change. Nobody can do it for you. You have to make that decision. So you make the decision, you choose, and you set the mood. You set the mood by saying it's a great day. You set the mood by finding some kind of motivational, inspirational music that you can play that will set your mood. Every morning when I get up, 6 o'clock in the morning, you can come into my house and you'll hear the Rocky theme song or you'll hear some motivational music that I play to set the mood. So first you say it's a great day, you set the mood. Then the next thing that you have to do is you have to learn to focus. You have to focus on what it is you're trying to do. If you want to lose the weight, if you want to get a new skill set, you have to set it as a goal and stay focused on that. And we can talk a little bit more about some of those things that you have to do. But first, you have to change your attitude and say, "I want to," and do the things that will help you with the attitude by saying it's a great day, setting the mood. The next thing that I'd suggest that you do is you write down 5 things that you love and appreciate about yourself on a little index card. And every morning when you get up, after you say it's a great day and you play that music, you get in front of the mirror and you read those things that you love and appreciate about you. Because your mind doesn't care what you plant. Your mind only cares that you plant something.
When we come back, we'll ask Sadie why it is that you have to do something 21 days in a row to make it a habit. And I'm Jack Brasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Sadie Bolus. Sadie, people in the motivational realm say that you have to do something 21 days in a row to change a habit. Why?
Well, Jack, that's a great question, but that's really the statistics that we have. It takes 21 days to get rid of an old habit or create a new one. It's got to be 21 consecutive days. Not one day you do it, 2 days you don't, 3 days you do it, one day you fall off. 21 consecutive days. I can't tell you exactly why. I can only tell you that 21 days, for some reason, when you actually do something for 21 consecutive days, it starts to create momentum and a habit so that you can continue, and it becomes, a staple in your life.
I know I want to do something. I want to change my life.
Mm-hmm.
But, Sadie, I'll do it when I feel like doing it.
It's not about doing it when you feel like it, Jack. It's about being disciplined to do it when you need to do it. Zig also had another great saying. He said, you know what, Sadie, if you do what you need to do when you need to do it, a day will come when you can do what you want to do when you want to do it. So it's about being disciplined, about being focused, and it's not about do I feel like it. It's about just get up and do it. Get the job done. And when you get the job done, you know, you reap the rewards. You bear fruit, but you have to put the time and the energy. It's not, I don't feel like getting up and going to work today. You just have to get up and you do it. I don't feel like having a good attitude today. You know, I'm tired today. It's not about that. It's about just doing it. It's about making a decision. Every day you choose. You choose what you're going to do. You choose how you're going to feel. You choose what kind of attitude you're going to have. So you have to just do it. Make a decision and do it.
You talk about each of us being able to, quote unquote, change our channel. Does that mean the guys with the clickers? What do you mean, change our channel?
Well, that's actually a great analogy. What change the channel means is very simply that. If something is on television and you don't like what you see, what do? You pick up the remote and you change the channel. So what does that mean in our life? It means when something negative is happening, you stop and you change the channel. And this is how you do that. It's very, very simple. You create something you can sing, say, or do that will create a shift for you. And I have some funny stories around that. But what I have done lately in the last few years, one of the things that I really share with people is to come up with a mission statement, a statement that's one or two sentences long that's about who you are, how you want to be known, and what you want your life to be about. And you use that statement to make the shift. And I'll give you an example. My statement, my mission statement, is to have extraordinary relationships based on faith, honesty, and integrity, drawing out the best from each person and giving them the best I have to offer. So if all of a sudden I'm in the middle of an argument, I'm in the middle of an unsatisfactory conversation, or I'm frustrated with my daughter, or I'm not getting along with my husband, or anything at all is happening, and all of a sudden I stop and say, okay, Sadie, your mission is to have an extraordinary relationship based on faith, honesty, and integrity, drawing out the best and giving the best. What do I need to do in that moment to make that happen? And it creates an instant shift. So one of the things that I say is to change the channel. So the way that you change a channel is to come up with a one statement that you can commit to your mind, to your memory, that every time something negative happens, you can use that to make the shift. So you're not stuck. You see, you can't resolve anything. You can't ever make anything a win-win when you're frustrated, when you're angry, when you're feeling poor old me, when you're in the middle of all that. That's a lose-lose. So if you make the shift and you change your channel, you're at work, you don't like the way things are going, you change the channel. Your boss gave you a deadline and you can't meet the deadline, you have to change the channel. You know, you didn't get the right paperwork that you need to finish the project, you have to stop and change the channel. And instead of getting stuck, you change your channel and you use your influence to get what you need. We can't control anybody. You can only control yourself, but you can influence people. You can influence people all the time. So if you change the channel and make that shift, that gives you the power to move forward and influence people and get things done.
Sadie, I'm 50 years old. I've got a high school degree. I've been working in a factory, making very good money. I've done a great job for these people for 30 years. I'm entitled to a lot of things. I was promised contractually a lot of things. And suddenly now there's all this talk about we've got to change. People can't give me what I've been promised. I'm mad about that. In all honesty, I'm afraid. I've got no future, Sadie. What do you say to me?
Well, you know what, Jack? Actually, you have the best to come. One of the things that's so exciting about what you just said about that example is with the number of years that that person was in that job, they have learned so many things. They have honed a skill. They have met people. They have done all kinds of great things. That in and of itself, there are so many skills that they can bring to the table. I could sit down with that person and say, tell me what you've learned. Tell me about the different things that you've done. And we would be able to take that information and actually look at where you can use that in another place in your life. Most of the time when something like that happens, it's the greatest blessing because you're pulled out of your comfort zone. You're forced to look at all the gifts and the talents that you have and what you've learned and how you can take that gift and now use it in another area. So your life is just beginning at that age after you've had X amount of years in that company. There are so many things you can do, but you have to see it differently. You have to set the goal and you have to see it differently. You have to shift your thinking. You have to have a great attitude and say, wow, you know, the world is in front of me and I can achieve whatever I want. It doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight, but we're going to take a little steps and we're going to look at what do you bring to the table? Because you see, there's no such thing as job security, but there's employment security because of who you are and what you bring to the table. And so what I want to do is help you, and what I'm going to encourage you to bring it to the table. Let's look at what you bring to the table. What do you bring to the party? And how do we use that? And how do we create momentum around that?
I was listening to Zig Ziglar on a tape recently, and he was speaking, and he said, Sadie Bolus says, write down your goals, visualize these goals, and create champions for you. What do you mean by that?
Champions for you. They're people that believe in you. You've got to write your goals down and you've got to surround yourself with people that are champions for you. A champion for you is someone that believes in you. So the goal of a champion for you is to find two or three people that believe in you, and every week you get together for 20 minutes to a half hour and you share your goals, you visualize your goals, and they support you in your goals. A champion for you is someone who sees the possibilities in your life. Now, I want to say that a champion for you is someone that you have to choose, and you can find them. You can find them, you know, in the workplace. Some people find them in the workplace. Some people find them in their families. But there are people, they are people that believe in you. And that's the key. You find one or two people that can get excited about you, get excited about your goals and what you bring to the table, and you surround yourself with people. If you were to go and interview any top executives, they're all going to tell you that they surround themselves with champions. They either belong to associations, they're involved in monthly meetings, they're around people that believe in them, that's how they got where they are, that have the vision that they have. So you have to expand yourself. You can't fly with the eagles if you hang with the turkeys. So you have to look at who are you spending your time with. If all of a sudden I were to say, Jack, make a list of everyone in your life. Now, in that list, everyone that brings you energy, every time you're around them, they build you up, they get you excited. Highlight them in green. Now the people that every time you're around them, they suck that energy. They're like that black hole that takes your energy. Highlight them in red. What would that look like? How many people would be highlighted in green? How many in red? So you have to go out and find those people that are champions for you, that will believe in you, that will support you and say, Jack, I believe you can do it. I know you can, and I'm going to help you.
Where do I find them?
That's a great question. They are out there. Belong to a new, get involved in an association, get into a neighborhood organization, get involved in a church organization. There are so many community things out there. There are networking groups. There are, you know, sports you can get involved into, but if you're not into sports, they're out there. All you have to do is go to your church, go to your community. There's Toastmasters. There are, the other kinds of church groups that they have out there, but there's another one that I just forgot of, the Kiwanis Clubs, and what's the other one?
The Rotary
Clubs. All of those have great people. For women that are over 50, they have the Red Hat Club now, if you're over 50 years old. And those women are all about getting excited and motivating you. So they're out there. All you have to do is pick up the newspaper, look in your newspaper and look for your community events. Go to those events. People that go to events and do things, they have energy. They're excited about life. They're doing things in life.
We're talking to Sadie Bolus, and when we come back, we'll ask her about her newest book she's writing entitled Finding Joy in the Journey. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Sadie Bolus. Sadie, your newest book coming out is entitled Finding Joy in the Journey. What's the Cliff Notes version of that book?
Well, Jack, it's about choosing joy every day. It's about looking at your life every day and choosing to find the joy in every situation, regardless of where you are or what you're doing or who you're with. Choosing joy. Choosing to see life as a gift. Choosing to see that this moment, how can you make a difference? How can you serve? How can you be a blessing in someone's life? And it's about all the steps to get there. But it's basically about making that decision to choose joy, that we all want to live joyfully. I think everyone on this earth wants to live with joy and peace and feel great about who they are and feel great about their life. So joy in the journey is about how do you find joy in your journey in the midst of change, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of running our children to hockey games and basketball games and working all day and cleaning the home and taking care of the yard and running the dog to the groomer and all the things that we do every day. How do you find joy in that journey?
For many people, the hardest thing in the world is to give a speech. You've spoken to as many as 8,000 people at once. What do you say to people that say, I could never give a speech?
I say to them, yes, you can. If I can, you can. Every time I get up in front of a group, I'm very nervous. I get very excited and I'm very nervous. And it's about understanding what are you going to speak about, understanding your audience, most importantly, being prepared. And lastly, knowing what is it that you want them to walk away with. So identifying what that is, what you want them to walk away with, being prepared, and realizing that you really, if you just look at talking to one or two people and look at that audience as though the bottom line is you just want to make a difference in their lives. I can't say that there's any foolproof thing that you can do. I can just tell you that it's exciting, and Zig always said, as long as you're nervous, you're in good shape, because as long as you're nervous, it means you're still humble.
Zig says that it's a lot easier to get a new audience than a new speech. You have 10 basic speeches.
Yes.
Can you share with us a couple of them?
Sure. The one program that I do is called Attitude at Its Best, and it's all about what we've been talking about. It's about attitude. It's about how do you keep that positive attitude in the middle of things going on. How do you keep a great attitude in life? How do you do that? It's not easy. It's not complicated. It takes tenacity. It takes commitment. And it takes focus. And so the first program, or my key program, Attitude at Its Best, is about that. The other program that I do is called Finding Joy in the Journey. And Finding Joy in the Journey is a lot about similar things, but it's from a biblical perspective. It's all about what does the scripture say and what does the Bible tell us about finding joy in the journey. One of the other programs that I do that is so exciting for me is communication. And it's called the Communication Toolbox, or sometimes I call it I Said, You Said, Is Anybody Listening? And it's all about communication. Communication is so key. If you could change every outcome in your life by simply choosing your words, how powerful could you be? And people don't realize that you can influence and change almost every outcome by choosing your words. Because it's all about how people hear you. It's about how you interact. Life is all about relationships. And relationships is all about communication. So if you get really good, confident with communication, you can achieve almost anything in life. People love working with you because you're a good communicator.
Have your parents ever been in an audience that you've given a speech, and what's that like?
Yes, they have. Well, you never know. You know, my mom has come to a few different programs, and she's probably one of my greatest supporters. She's such a sweetheart. She's always there in the audience. And sometimes her cell phone goes off in the middle of one of the speeches, or sometimes she'll sit up and say something and say, you know, it didn't quite happen that way. You never quite know what I'm going to expect, but she's great, and I'm so fortunate to have her. I'm so fortunate that she comes and she supports me in what I do.
How can we learn more about who you are and what you do?
Well, I have a website and I have an office. My website is www.sadie, Sadie, Bolos, Bolos.com. And our office number at Bolus Amon Associates is area code 313-886-3676.
What role has faith played in your life, Sadie?
Faith actually is most important to me. I believe that God has given all of us everything we need to be successful in life, and I believe that the purpose of my life here really is to serve God. And I believe that He has given me the vehicle of speaking and coaching and training as a way of being able to reach people, letting people know how great they are, how wonderful they were made in His image. And if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here.
You talk a lot about serving others. It seems to me in today's world, anybody that tries to serve others gets the short end of the stick. What do you say about that?
Jack, it may appear that way, but truly when you look at great people, successful people in life, or people that are happy in life, they're all about giving. They're either volunteering their time, volunteering their services, they're involved in something that's about other people. Because life is about other people, life is about relationships, life is about giving of yourself. The greatest way that you can experience peace and joy is giving away yourself. I was listening to some of your other interviews weeks back, and I know that Florine Mark also suggested that and talked about that, and I'm here to say that the greatest way that you can change your channel, change your attitude in life, is by giving to someone else. And I think service, you know, in the scriptures, it's constantly talking about how we give, that we are to be the light, that we are the light of the world, and to let our light so shine that others would know who we are and what we're about, and that we could serve God. So I believe that giving of yourself is the greatest gift you can give. It's the greatest gift you can give yourself.
As I sit here listening, I think to myself, when I was young, I had all these dreams. And now I don't have any dreams. What do you say to me?
I'd say, well, Jack, you have to get busy. I know they're still there. We know they're still there. We just have to get you excited and uncover them, dig them out again. Those dreams never really go away. What happens is we push them down, we forget about them, we believe that they aren't possible, so we just put them to sleep. So what we have to do is reignite them, and that's one of the things that I love to do. My whole focus and purpose is to get people excited about who they are, get them excited about the talents and the gifts that they bring to the table, and help them put together a path and a plan to get there. So, Jack, they're there. We just need to get them out again.
Speaking of dreams, is the American dream still alive?
Yes, I believe it is. I believe it's there. I believe that you have to get excited about it, write it down, stay focused on it, keep changing your channel, so when you have a setback, you change your channel, you move forward, have the goals down, most importantly, be committed to them, and surround yourself with people that believe in you. And lastly, got to pray. You've got to pray and ask God to show you the way, give you the wisdom, give you the knowledge, and He will.
What advice would you give to young people today?
The advice I'd give young people is to have a dream, to have a passion, to ask themselves what is it that they love to do. Usually it's right in front of them, and to write it down and to pursue it and get started now. Find someone that's currently doing what they love to do and do it as a volunteer. Get involved in that company. Talk to people that are doing the things that they love to do and get started now.
You've done so much in your life and you got such a great future. Motivational speaker, author, coach, trainer, business person, Detroit cop. What are you the proudest of?
What I'm proudest of is my daughter. Being a mom is probably the greatest gift and the most rewarding thing that you could ever do in your life. And that's what I'm most proud of. And every day my goal is to be the first and foremost the best mom that I can be, to first serve God, be the best mom that I can be, and be the best wife that I can be. So what I'm most proud of is my daughter. And she's a great young lady, and I just feel really privileged and honored that I have the opportunity to be a mom.
Sadie, you've helped untold thousands, tens of thousands of people. When we give a speech, we never know which in that audience will react to that and improve their life in a little bit. So from all these people that never said thanks, I say thanks. Please keep doing it. And you're an inspiration to an awful lot of us. Speaking of inspirations, our guest next Sunday is the founder of an annual men's day entitled Put Out Into the Deep, Father John Ricardo. His dad was the chairman of Chrysler. His dad was the man who hired Lee Iacocca from Ford to go to Chrysler. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because anything is possible. Spahoma.